Everybody out there, good morning. I like high energy. And if you want to speak up during the service and you want to ask questions or ask to say, hey, re-say that again or, you know, communicate, I'm an interacting pastor. I have no problem with people, you know, saying, hey, clarify that for me. Now, how did I come into the verse that we're looking at today? In fact, we have so much to unpack. And it all came up to is one individual contacted me, and it was John Peterson, and said, you know, could you teach a Sunday school class for us? And I said, well, sure. So I went and looked, and I thought, well, it's a small book I could actually teach on and give a high overview of, and Philemon came to heart. And so as I read Philemon the first time, I read it the second time, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot here. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call saying, from a higher power, and she's going to be teaching the class instead. And you did a wonderful job, Lorraine, teaching the Sunday school class, so I never got to teach any of this. So what God did is keep working in my heart. And as I studied more and more and more, I've just fallen in love with this book. Now the author is Paul, and he's writing to a man named Philemon. And after reading and studying this, you're learning that this is Paul's second time that he's in jail. And this will be the last time Paul is in jail because they will actually be killing him at the end of this time. So he doesn't get out of jail. And if you want to read that part, that's all in Acts. So you have to go to Acts to get that. But this is Paul writing this single personal letter to Philemon. And looking at how to communicate a topic that was not conventional, not normal. In fact, Philemon was a very rich man. He had slaves. He empowered a lot of things. Some believe that Paul introduced him to Jesus Christ. Some of the commentaries talk about this. And so they had that connection through leading Philemon to Christ. And that Philemon was actually a big individual in the community. He did a lot of different things, so he was well known. And it's really all about another individual, Onesimus. He is a slave that was actually a runaway slave. And some commentaries even say it's interesting on how Mark ran away when he was on the missions field from his responsibilities. But later, through the love of Jesus Christ, and Jesus working through both of these individuals, came back to do great things in the name of Jesus. But Paul is reaching out and standing up in this letter. And we're going to read the letter real soon here. But I want to give a little bit more information here. How many of us are willing to stand up in a crowd for what is true? Stand up for your Christian values. As a young man, many of you know that I was a meat cutter, and I was very thankful to have Jesus Christ in my life, but there was many times that there would be jokes or pictures or things that were not funny that I laughed along with because of peer pressure. But as my faith grew in the Lord, I started realizing that these things are not so funny, and I need to stand up for what is true. And looking at it is not just laughing because the world is laughing. And then to come to find out later, as I'm standing up for what is true, others are thankful because they want to also. But the world sells us a lie that what is cool and what everybody is doing is right, and it's not. I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand up for what is the truth. Because that's what I've seen Paul do in this letter. He didn't follow the world. He looked at what the spiritual impact is and what is actually most important. He stood up for an individual. He put his own name on the line. How many of us are willing to stand up for another individual? Second commandment that Jesus said was very important. Love your brother and sister. Do you love so much that you'll stand up for what is true? Let's pray here. I want to have a heart of this. When I seen this picture, I knew someday I would use it. Because I would love to have a heart of a child. So please pray with me as we get into the Word here. Dear Heavenly Father, I lifted up as I studied Your Word, Lord. And I asked for a child's heart. An innocent heart to see the Word, to teach the Word. And Lord, may you open our ears so we can hear. And allow us to hear Your Word to make an impact for others. And may You make an impact in our lives. May each and every one of us be like children here, open to hear, willing to accept, and allow You to run our lives, Lord. Allow You to have control. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Now the story I have is another sidebar story. Some of you may know me as I'm a little ADD. And thank you, a few of the people that smiled out there. It was kind of nice. My wife didn't shake her head, though. But it's who I am. It's who God made me. And last Sunday, after church, I was driving down the road. And a gal was on the side of the road. A car was stopped. And a police officer was behind her with the lights on, and her tire was flat. So I pulled over to help. And the police officer tried helping, but a young man didn't know how to change the tire. And technically, as being a police officer, I don't think he should be changing a tire because he's vulnerable in that spot. So I stopped to help. And as I listened to this woman's story, it was negative. Oh, the tire shouldn't have went flat. I'm just going to go get them changed right now. And this shouldn't happen. And that shouldn't happen. And it was all negative. And I made a choice at that time, because I've been studying Philemon, to stand up for what is right and say to her, isn't it a blessing that right now this police officer is here helping us? And isn't it a blessing that you have a spare? Some of us that have lived in other countries know that not all cars come with spares. You have to check that, especially in rental cars. I found that out actually in one country, that spare tires are optional. And looking at all the blessings, and as we spent some time together, she started looking at things a little differently. And I started showing her the blessings that she had in her life. You know, if my husband would have took care of this already, it wouldn't have been a problem. Okay. Has your husband taken care of other stuff? Yeah, but he's real busy right now. Well, what about the blessings that you did have? And looking at counting them blessings that she had. And as we talked and we spent time taking this tire off, I asked her, I said, when have you ever thanked someone else? Because I was thinking of Paul writing the letter for someone else, and I said to her, I said, would you take the time to thank this policeman that stopped to care for you and have you in a safe place? Would you take the time to, out of your life, to stand up what's for right and thank this police officer? And count your blessings that you have? As I walked away, I was so excited when I heard her say to the police officer, thank you, sir, for stopping. What is your name so I can write a letter to the city? So as I studied Philemon, I started seeing how I can make an impact in my life for standing up. But I'm looking at is how each and every one of us have a choice and how we live our lives. In fact, I would like Philemon read from a friend of mine. I've never met him. But Johnny Cash is one that impacts me quite often. Some of you maybe heard a sermon I've done on Johnny Cash. But we look at him and the man dressed in black and we like to judge him. Maybe that's why I like Johnny Cash, because everybody likes to judge him, not knowing that he had a very strong Christian value and faith. In fact, him and Billy Graham were friends. So, Mike, could you cue up Philemon? And Johnny Cash is going to read it to us.
Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with
you. Amen. To be with you. Amen. There's a lot here to talk about, and we're not going to be able to finish it in one Sunday. In fact, I'm going to have to break this down in different pieces. But the first part is the greeting. In the first few verses, is he's greeting him, acknowledging Philemon for the importance he is. And then we're going to be looking at the thanks and the prayer part. And basically how it was so important that they have this relationship in Jesus Christ. And then the appeal for one. All of a sudden I have my tongue got tied. Onesimus. So that this is really about an individual that they're coming together to speak about. And Philemon has the right of the owner of the slave to kill him on sight. And we'll talk about why the Roman government would allow such things. And how they have partnership in this ministry, that this is just not about one individual. This is about the whole team. Us as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ working for the outcome of sharing the gospel. In fact, I'm going to give you a tidbit at the end of the story. Okay? So you know how it turns out. Some people like to read the end of the book to see if it's worth reading. How many people are like that? That read the end of the book that like to see if it's worth reading? Okay. There's a few hands out there. I don't even like reading the book, so let me start with that in the first place. The only time I really enjoy reading is when I'm in the Word of God and I lose track of time because it is so... It's different. Some of you might not know I have a learning disability, but that's why I don't like to read. But when I get in the Word, it's just amazingly different. But as I was reading and different things, I find out the rest of the story is some of the commentaries that Onesimus becomes one of the major points in this area for Christianity. So much that the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church still to this day acknowledge the impact he made for Christ. The slave that Philemon had the right to kill. So that's the end of the story. He's going to do great things. So don't worry about that, because I can't tell you the whole story today, because it's going to be much larger than I can unpack. But Paul, he's the apostle. He talks about this in the first three pieces about his importance and who he is. And he has the authority over the church to just command this. How many of us husbands out here, the wives and the family give us the responsibility of having that authority? It's biblical. Okay, just because you have the authority doesn't mean that it's used in that way. You are not dictators. You're caregivers. You're responsible for the outcome. Okay? Same thing with Paul here. He's responsible for the outcome. He's not going to dictate this because he wants that relationship with Philemon. But even more, he wants a relationship between Philemon and... oh man, I just wish I could see the words in front of me. Onesimus. He wants that relationship between them not to be owner and slave, but brothers in Christ. And that's why this letter is written. It is written to bring unity within the body of Christ, not division. And the more I read and listen to the different commentaries, the more excitement, I don't know if you can feel this, but I am excited to see how Christians can work things through. The secular world tells us it should be this way. But Paul shows us on how Christians can work together and talk out differences. And Paul's imprisoned. He's actually in Rome, and I'm not sure, and I didn't study this far enough to know if he was actually imprisoned and chained or if he was house-prisoned at this time. I can't tell you that. But I do know that he was imprisoned. And that Onesimus was a big deal, making a difference in Christ in this community. Now you got to remember, this runaway slave ran away and ran to the big city, thinking he's going to get away, right? And I'm sure the slave probably had to steal something to be able to support himself until he gets to the big city. And he gets to the big city thinking like, whew, I'm free. But he still has this over his shoulder looking, not knowing if he could ever be caught. He runs into this guy, kind of like David on the streets. Some guy comes up to him and talks to him about Jesus Christ. And he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he learns more about the Word of God and becomes very useful in teaching the Word of God. This is the slave. And he's working with Paul. So think about this. And the other part that we sometimes leave out, we read the verses and everything so much there, we forget about Timothy. Timothy was a co-author on this. Sometimes when we look at doing something, a team and a group is actually looked at and seen a little bit better. So it's okay to ask a brother. In fact, biblically, if you have difficulties within a group and you have an opportunity of a problem, you grab a brother or sister in Christ and you go together to talk about something. So it's unified. So Timothy is writing this letter. Even though Paul is doing the penmanship, Timothy is along with this. And so let's not forget that piece, is that Timothy's writing this and agreeing with this at the whole time. So he knows both individuals as well as the co-author. And he's writing Philemon about this very important thing. But you know, sometimes when you write an individual, and I can speak to this in my own family, you'll write an individual, and let's say somebody wrote me, and then I repeat it to my wife or my children and other people, and we all know that story game is the story goes farther and farther and farther. It kind of changes a little bit. Paul wanted clarity. He didn't want any division, so he was so wise, and so some of us may want to use this in our own lives, is to include everyone possible that could be part of the decision. So he included Philemon's wife. He included Philemon's son as well, that are named here. As well as he included the whole church body when he wrote them and addressed them, so that his request of accepting Onesimus as a brother in Christ and not a slave would be heard. Looking at this, just think, Onesimus comes back, Philemon doesn't open the door, but his son does. and kills them, because he has the right to do that under Roman law. But just think it even more. Onesimus is the one that brought the letter. How many of us are willing to take our difficulties and bring them to the Lord? This slave brought his difficulties back to the master. But I've seen a symbolism back here that I wanted to look at in some of the commentaries. One commentary I read it in after I've already agreed with it is looking at this. How many of us are willing to take our problem to the Lord and not just talk about our problem and get to the dirt of it? What is the core problem? Each and every one of us, I promise you, don't raise your hands, because every one of you should be raising your hands. We have difficulties in our life we should take to the Lord. Things that if we work through would bring us in a closer relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as well as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we're human. We have difficulties. But not to allow them difficulties to break us apart. Or not allow the distractions. Sometimes if you call a distraction out, it goes away because you address it. So looking at this, when Paul was writing, he addressed all the individuals so nothing went away. So everything can be brought to the light. And what does the Word of God say when things are brought to the light? The truth can be seen. I guarantee we are not going to get through this sermon today. I'm not even a quarter of the way through. Okay? So all in favor of me finding a good place to land the plane? Okay, you got a few heads nodding out there? Okay. Andrew says I'm only allowed to say that twice, and that's an old personal joke between us. But I think we need to look at prayer is the number one thing. That when you think about doing something, pray about it. And when God brings it to your heart, don't stop praying. When God brings something to your heart, how many of us have seen something that's not right, but just were quiet about it? When God brings something to your heart that you should be addressing, care about it. Care about others. I went to the state fair with my family, and it's amazing on how some people will get on a bus, and women are standing, especially older women are standing, and all the men, young men, are just sitting down like this, and they don't want to make any eye contact because they know that they're not doing the right thing by giving up their seat. Okay? Men, our job is to care for the ladies. That's what God has asked us to do. Get up and give that chair to a lady. Especially an older person, older. Why not give that respect? They do that. They're due that respect. Do what is correct. We should be showing the example of Christ. That's why I'm asking you, stand out. Stand up and be different. You should not look like everybody else out in America. I don't care if you wear Tommy Hilfiger stuff. It's probably not cool anymore. That was probably 30 years ago. But, hey, it was really cool. I got my first pair of Tommy Hilfiger pants 10 years after they were already out. But I'm looking at is that, and that was 40 years ago. No. Okay, the jokes are getting worse and I'm going downhill. Finally, I got your attention though. People are laughing. But our faith in the Lord is what matters. And we need to stand strong on that and not waver on our faith. And that's what I've seen with Philemon. I've seen that Paul took the time to write a letter. Enough that he put his name on the line, his reputation. And he's saying, we're partnerships. You need to see this. How many of us have somebody that's around that we know that has faith, but we don't even take the time to acknowledge them sometimes in our workplaces? I see a few faces that are making some faces out there. Sometimes we need to take the time to acknowledge our brothers and sisters in Christ. Clarify things and have understandings. Having that deeper relationship. In fact, I'm so proud. I've said it once already from the pulpit, and I'll say it again. Is Debbie. She's at Walmart reading her Bible, and somebody says, why aren't you checking your cell phone? And she says, well, I'm on break. I really want to spend time with the Lord in that relationship. Taking the time to have that personal relationship and letting others see it. standing up for what's correct. Paul and Timothy have heard and want to make an impact for Christ. They want to have some refreshingness in the church and looking at how we refine things and not doing the same things over and over and over and over. Enough that they actually took time to make a difference in someone else's life. Let's pay close attention. To make a choice. So I don't know if you hear anything else other than Philemon was a man that could make all the choices, but Paul had to make the choice to write him and Timothy. To be able to plead a case. To do the right thing. To give up your seat on a bus for someone else. To make the appeal in love enough where you're going to stand up in a dark place. In fact, I know some people that are in some dark places right now that are going through some horrendous things in their life. But to stand up for what is right for themselves and for others. To stand up for what you believe in. And through Christ, you will see changes. In fact, when I worked for Wells Fargo, I was told that I was not allowed to say Merry Christmas. As an upper-level management, that is not proper, John. And I said, what is proper then? Happy holidays. And I go, how many holidays are there in November? Oh, December. Or January. Oh, December only has one holiday. So how do you have happy holidays in December? It's Merry Christmas. And I said, it's Merry Christmas because of my faith. If you're going to demand me, put that down on a document that I can only say these things because you've just taken away my personal rights of being a Christian. They never did that. Because we, in our faith, have the right to say a greeting in our way. Because they were allowed me to say any other greeting but Merry Christmas. So how do we stand up for what is right? You know what the benefit is? When I stood up for what was right and I was able to share the Word of God, all of a sudden, other Christians started coming out of the woodwork. And next thing you know, I knew that we had more Christians there than non-Christians in this community. Because one person was willing to stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Another, another, another. Next thing you know, there was a Bible study there. Yeah. Yeah. And how many people does it take to make a Bible study? You're all right. Because of any time you study the Word of God, you are studying. And then to have a Bible study together, you're sharing. Two or more are gathered, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. And you'd be amazed people will come together and ask questions. So what's the benefit? Paul stood up and took a risk, and we're going to learn more about this. Because he had a risk of breaking that friendship with Philemon. But he stood up for a principle. Are we willing to stand up for the principles of Jesus Christ in our life? Are we willing to come down? You know, because as a Christian, as a pastor, I'm up here in front, right? I'm a kind of a big shot, they tell me, right? No. In fact, you don't even have to call me Pastor John because I'm just a man equal to you. Andy knows more Greek. Sue knows more Greek than I do. But are we willing to stand together as a body and say, you know what? Count me in. Paul did. Timothy did. Do we care enough about our brother and sister in Christ that when somebody's sinning, I'm going to pick on John here because I've known John for many, many years. I'm blessed to see him here, but I'm going to pick on him. Sorry, dude, you're up front. And I won't do it if you all sit in front, okay? So more people that sit forward, there's better odds. But if I seen John doing something wrong, he knows that I've done this in his life, I'd call him on it. John Ives, I've given permission to, and all the elders. In fact, I give permission to every person in this body. If you see me doing something wrong, come up and say something. Yeah, I know David does all the time. He even calls me at home sometimes and tells me I forgot to make the coffee. So, But I'm saying is, how do we do this? We shouldn't be shy. We should do it in love. Not above anybody, but alongside. So I guess that's my sermon in the end here. I'm going to land the plane. Is that we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to come together. Stand together for strong in what is right. And not be scared to what others might think. Because we know the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and we are forgiven. And you and myself are made righteous. And don't forget about that. As you're a righteous child of God, who can be against you? Dear Heavenly Father, as the band comes forward to close us in song, may this last song we stop and listen to the words. And not just say the words through our mouth, but listen to them in our heart. And may this next week we make an impact for you, Lord. May we stand up and be proud to be your sons and daughters. We pray this in your name. Amen.